Well, for those who don't know, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm in charge of the youth and teens here. And I have a confession to make to you. I am broken. I've messed up. I've made mistakes throughout my life, things that I will take to my grave, things that I will regret for the rest of my life. And because of that, I am broken. I come to you broken, sometimes in a million pieces, sometimes in others, a few pieces. But nevertheless, I'm broken. We have things that we've broken in our lives, whether it be ourselves or maybe that nice vase. And whether it's a chip off of it, or it shatters into a million pieces, most of the time we try to use it until we can't. I know one story. My brother and I were fighting, and we were running around our dining room table. I had a washcloth in my hand, so I proceed to throw it at my brother. Now, I don't know if you've tried to throw a towel at someone before, but it doesn't go very far. But it went just far enough to go across the table, wrap around a glass, and fall onto the floor, shattering on impact, and we had to throw it away. I got in trouble with my parents. They were not happy with me, considering we were going to have guests over in about 45 minutes, and there's glass everywhere, and we're missing something to drink from. So I drank from a plastic cup that night. But regardless, it was broken. Many things today, especially in our culture, will tell you that if it is broken, it is unusable. That you will have to go out and buy something new, something to replace it. That even if the tiniest scratch, the littlest thing, the inmost tiniest imperfection that you may not notice, well, throw it in the trash, we can try again. The consumerism is to buy a new one, brand spanking new. And if that breaks, what do? You go out and buy it again. So on that logic, I should leave because I am broken. But I do have good news because I'm not the only one that is broken in here. All of you are broken. That may not sound like good news, but I promise you it will be good news by the time you leave. But we are all broken. I am broken. Pastor Lenny is broken. Pastor Troy is broken. Everyone that volunteered on Friday, you are broken. Everyone sitting in here, you are broken. Everyone listening online, you are broken. I am sorry to let you know, but it is true. You are all broken. Some of you may be more broken than others. You may be thinking about what has made you broken, the mistakes, the sins, the things that you will take to your grave, things that only one or two other people know about you. But regardless, you are broken. I do have good news, though. We all may be broken. We all may be shattered. But there's a place for broken people, and it's called the church. So those who are here today, you have come to the right place, also known as the land of misfit toys, but we call it church. We are all broken, but that is what the church is made for. That is what Jesus has created the church for, is for broken people. It is for hurt people. It is for people who are sinful, people who are still sinning, currently sinning, and will sin again. That is all of us, by the way. No one is excluded. But sometimes we don't treat church for the broken. Sometimes we think on Sunday morning we have to get up in our best get up. We have to come with our best smiling face, our most put together attitude, if you will, and we have to be perfect for a couple hours. Then we can go home and we can be broken again. Or maybe we bump into them at the grocery store, so we have to be perfect for that little bit of time. You may also be thinking, because I'm broken, because I've sinned, that I cannot be used anymore. You fall into the consumerism that culture will tell you, that you are better thrown away and bought new. That I am broken, I have no purpose. Well, if that were true, I would be broken a long time ago. If that were true, I would not be standing in front of you today. If that were true, many of you probably wouldn't be here at all. If that were true, many of you wouldn't have the jobs, the friendships, the family that you have, because people would have given up long before you. And if we are all broken, then we're all in the same mess. But God doesn't use perfect people. We may think because we go to church that we have to be perfect, that we have to be put together in order to serve God. That God is perfect, so I must be perfect, so that I must follow His will, I must follow in His footsteps, which means to be perfect every step of the way. And of course, we've all failed before we even started. We have all failed by the time we realize that it is our job to do that, and it is already too late. We've already started behind the eight ball, and we will never catch up. Regardless of that, though, because that is what culture will tell you, I will tell you, God will tell you, any pastor will tell you that just because you are broken does not mean God can't use you. If anything, God loves to call broken people, almost as if he waits for you to be broken, almost as if he calls the sinful, the hurt, and the broken people. He calls those people because those people are broken, because they have scratches, because they have chipped pieces, but God will use them regardless. God does not use you because you are perfect, because you put on a nice dress, because you put on a nice shirt today. He does not use you because of what you wear, what you look like, how you style yourself, the way you carry yourself. He used you because he has a plan for you. Regardless of how many scratches, how shattered you may look, how shattered you might feel on certain days, how down you may feel, how hurt you may feel, how many people you hurt, God will use you regardless. Throughout the Bible, we tend to idolize these heroes. We tend to see these people as non-human almost. We hear stories of Daniel defeating Goliath, and we say, I can't do that. We may hear stories of Jonah running away, but then still going back and finishing his mission. We may hear stories of Adam and Eve. We may hear stories of Jesus, John the Baptist, all these people, the 12 disciples, and we almost idolize and put them on a pedestal. But may I remind you, the next time you read those stories, look a little closer, because they are all broken. Most of them break in the middle of the story. Most of them are broken before the story, and a lot of them tend to be broken throughout the story. And that is true for many of us, as we are broken before, in the middle, and the end of our stories. We are broken from the day we are born till the day we die. We are shattered, broken people. But I want to remind you that that's okay, because we're all in church. We call the church, and the church is not a place for perfect people. It's not for the healthy, but the sick and the broken. Gladly, Jesus redeems broken, sinful, hurt people. Which means if we are broken, sinful, hurt people, and we recognize that, that Jesus will redeem us. We cannot put together ourselves. I don't know if you've ever tried to tape a shattered glass, but it will not go well, and I do not recommend it. It will not help anyone. If anything, it will hurt you more. You'll have cuts on your hands, and it will not go back together. It will not be useful the same way. But luckily, we don't redeem ourselves. Jesus does. And we see this story in Acts 9 through Saul's conversion. Saul, later Paul, is one of those people that we put on a pedestal. Especially we like to look at his story after the conversion, where he is this on-fire Christian, going to jail, going to mission trips, writing tons of letters to churches. And we see him as this Christian superhero. Man, only if I could be like Paul. If I could just write the letters he writes, have the impact on the church that he had, reach the people he had, I would surely be going to heaven. But a lot of us forget Paul's brokenness. He wasn't always this onset Christian. If anything, he was trying to set Christians on fire. We see in Acts chapter 9, Saul is going after, looking to create threats against Christians, put them in prison, and continues to try to ruin God's kingdom. He is on his way to create more prisoners, throw more people in jail, where he encounters a voice. He's fallen, and all he hears a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I don't know if you, but if I fell to my knees and heard a random voice, I'd be scared. I'd be terrified of what is going on. But Saul, whether he realizes it or not, knows who's talking and says, who are you, Lord? You know, most of the time when you're asking someone a name, you don't assume their name. You just say, who are you? You don't just, who are you, John, and hope you're right. Most of the time we're looking for answers. But whether he knew it or not, he knew what was happening. He tells him to go to a city and wait there. Now, remember, Saul has a hatred, a burning for Christians. He is a broken man, whether he realizes it or not. But God, through the story of his conversion, is going to use Saul. He's going to redeem him, and he's going to use him for the mission he has at hand. He is still broken just because he can see again later in the chapter. Does not mean that all of his murders, those he threw in jail, are all of a sudden wiped clean from his memory. He still knows what he did. Jesus forgives and forgets, but as many of us know, we tend not to. We all have that thing that we've been thinking about, that mistake we've made, that thing that will haunt us probably for the rest of time. Those relationships have crumbled and burned and will never be repaired. Those parts that make us broken. But God can use you in your brokenness. Later we see that Lord, he calls him to a man and tells him to go to Saul. He tells them that you are to meet him. And of course he says that I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people. And he tells them, and he has come from authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. He is scared of Saul. He knows Saul's broken, and he knows that brokenness might rub off on him. But the Lord says, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their king and to the people of Israel. God does not mention the murders, the mistakes, the sins that Saul has committed, but rather he said, this man is my chosen instrument. My chosen instrument to proclaim my name to everyone. And I'm happy, the happy news has come because you are his chosen instrument to proclaim his name. That regardless of how broken you are, how many mistakes, how many sins you've created, you are called to be an instrument. No matter your age, no matter your background, the things you've done, things people have said to you, you are called to be his instrument. You're called to proclaim his name, and that doesn't always mean words. Now, I got the call to be a pastor, and that creates me to be here today, but I didn't always believe that. I would run from it at times. I originally didn't even want to go to college, but God convinced me to, because I was called to be an instrument. I thought that my sins would hold me back. I thought the mistakes I made were too much. But again, God called me to be an instrument, and he does the same to you. He says, regardless of the things you've created, the things that you've done, I'm going to call you to be an instrument. And an instrument is up here, as you can see. These instruments are not playing themselves. They are sitting here waiting to be used. We are the same way. We are waiting for God to use us. And when he does, we have to be ready. He will call each and every one of you. It may be to full-time ministry. It may be to just talk to that coworker, to interact with that person, because they are broken people too. The people outside these walls of Baker and surrounding counties and towns and all across the country are broken people. People that have cracked, that are shattered, that have been taped back together and don't work the way they used to. But we can connect on our brokenness. We can connect with those who have suffered loss together. We can connect with those who have experienced pain in the same way. And we do that by creating relationship. Saul will go on to be, scales fell from his eyes so he could see again. He was then baptized and he regained his strength. And then many of us know the story of Paul. He changes his name and he goes on to go on these missionary trips. He goes on to write letters to churches, to be an encouraging, and he ends up being a martyr. Many of us, regardless, the world will tell us that you have to be bought new, that you have to do something to fix yourself before you are useful. But God says, I will use you in your brokenness, I will redeem you through your brokenness, and then I will continue to use you. One of the coolest things I've ever heard was Jesus equips the called, he does not call the equipped. So if you think I am broken, I do not have the skill set, I do not have the talent, I'm not put together, Lord, how could I ever do something for your name? Jesus says, I got it. I will take care of you every step of the way. I will put you back together. I will give you the tools. I will give you the skills. I will give you the talents, the resources, the people in order to do what I've called you to do. You are not put together, and you may feel like you may never will be, but God will put you back together the way he sees fit. It may not be exactly how you were beforehand. Saul did not keep his name Saul. He changed his name to Paul. He did not continue to go back to connect with the same old people, but rather he had new friends, new people that he connected with, went on journeys with, and went on mission trips with. So just because you are broken does not mean you'll be put back together in the same way. But regardless, God will redeem you. He will equip you. He does not call you if you already have the tools, but you might realize that God has been putting the parts into place, and then when he calls you, you can look back and realize, oh, I do have this stuff, and I need more, God, but he says, I got you. I never thought I would get through college. I truly hated school for the most part. I hated high school. I hated every aspect of standard education, truly, but I made it through. Because God gave me the strength through every day, those late nights of staying up until 3, 4 a.m. to write a paper and make sure it got finished, even though it was already late. Things like that, God will get you through. You may not have the same journey as I, but he will get you through whatever it is, because he will equip you. You do not need to be fixed. You do not need to be perfect. You just need to be yourself, because God has equipped you, will equip you, and will continue to equip you, regardless of your brokenness. So I don't want you to listen to the world that tells you you have to buy new things, that tells you you have to be perfect in order to be accepted in this club, because here on the island of misfit toys, we accept all. And that is what the church is about. You do not have to come in here dressed to the nines. You do not have to come in here perfect, happy. It's okay to be real. It's okay to be broken, because this is the place for it. If you are not willing to admit you are broken, then how is God supposed to fix that? Saul realized that he had a problem, and it took some divine intervention to get there, but he knew he had a problem. You continue to read along. He always looking to learn. And if you read the letters, that he realizes he is broken. Daniel in Psalms continues to realize that he is broken, doesn't have it all put together. But regardless, God uses them. Now, we are all broken people in here. We are a broken church that has cracks and infighting and plenty of that, I'm sure, and every church does. But God will use us regardless. We are instruments to proclaim God's name. And as Troy sometimes says up here, go and spread the word and use words if you have to. I listen to a lot of Christian rap, as many of you know. And for many, it is not their taste of music, and I've heard all kinds of things, but a lot of lyrics come to mind of this, because a lot of it is raw, just experiencing their story through music. And many of them ask in a song, Dear Mr. Christian by Derek Minor, he talks about how the church looks at him while he was sitting. And we have to realize here that we are a broken people and that we are reaching broken people. We are not perfect people reaching broken people. We are not broken people reaching perfect people. But rather, we are broken people reaching broken people, inviting them to a place where broken people belong. We cannot go out and judge the world and say, because we have called and we are equipped, that we are better than them, that we look down on those who aren't in the building, we look down upon those who may not look as nice as us, but rather, we have to see, I am a broken person. God has called me to proclaim the word to broken people. I'm sure Saul and Paul realized this throughout their ministry, that these people are broken just as he was. And many of these disciples realized this as well. That I am a broken person reaching broken people, and we have to act like that. We as the church have to act like that. And it should start here in Baker City, that the broken people of Baker City should know that there's a place for them. There's a place for broken people in Baker City, and it's called the church. Whether that's Sunday morning or Wednesday nights at a discipleship, or Friday mornings at a restaurant, that the church is not this building that they have to be in here, but rather the people. And when we come around them, they realize that, hey, I'm broken, but I'm not the only one. I'm not the only broken person in this room. I do not have to put up an act. I do not have to put up being perfect. Rather, I am broken, and God will use me anyway. Regardless of what you have done in your life, regardless of what you will do in your life, you will mess up. You've messed up and you will continue to mess up. But God loves you. God loves you. He redeems you and he will use you. And there's people out there that don't know that. There are broken people that buy into the world's culture that tells them, buy new. Throw yourself away and try again. Buy new clothes to fix yourself. Say certain words, watch certain things, do certain things in order to fix yourself. And none of those will work. Again, it's like trying to put a shattered vase together with tape. Good luck. And we see that Saul, in turning into Paul, took it to a whole nother level of being on fire. So it's not this small thing where the word proclaiming is loud. It is a scream, it is a yell, it is a thing that everyone hears. So let's not be shy about our brokenness. Let's not be shy about our imperfections. Let's not be shy about the one who redeems us in those. Rather, let's be loud in that. Let's share it with Baker. Let's share it with the people that we are called to. If you have not received a call or feel like you are not worthy, or you feel for whatever reason that you are just won't take that step, I'm here to tell you that Jesus will equip you if he has called you. That your every calling looks different. You do not have to come up here and preach on Sunday mornings. I know for some of you that would be terrifying. Others, you have other skill sets that reach people. I'm thankful for Pastor Deidre, the work she does, because there's a reason I deal with teens and youth and not children, because that is not my skill set. But regardless of it all, we are broken, and God will redeem us. That today as you go out, and many of you go to restaurants, to waiters and waitresses that may not know, you see people that you know throughout the week, that you remind them that, hey, you're not the only broken one here. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. As we continue to see a lot of death strike this community, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, that we realize that you aren't the only broken one. You aren't the only one dealing with what you have. Rather, there's a God out there that will redeem you, that will break you down, that will equip you with a calling and send you off, send you to a world that is broken, so that you can invite them to a place where they belong. There's a big debate on whether you should be able to believe or belong first, but I personally believe that you have to belong first. For people to believe in this God that redeems them, they have to belong to a place where broken people are. They have to realize they aren't the only broken person in the room, because the world will tell them that. So to bring people in, invite them into the brokenness and say, hey, it's okay, because there's a God who redeems. You're an instrument to proclaim God's word, just as Saul was, and just as many will be after you as well. So this week, I challenge you to find the broken people in your life, because I promise you there's everyone. And I promise you, God will reveal that. If you say that prayer, I'm going to end this prayer, and I'm going to pray what I consider a dangerous prayer, and that's daring God to do something, because he will. You pray for patience, he'll give you reasons to be patient. You pray for to have an opportunity to speak into someone's life, he'll give you the opportunity. So join me in this prayer as we pray for the broken people of Baker, that he provides a space for that. Lord, we come to you and we are broken, that we are imperfect, we are sinful, we are hurt people who hurt people. But we realize that you redeem us in that, that that brokenness does not stop us from your calling, but rather you will equip us in that. Just as you called Saul and transformed his life, Lord, that we want the same for us. And we realize that this gift you give us, this redeeming power, is not just for those in this building, but for everyone. That as we bump into more broken people, that we would share that they are not broken and beyond repair, but rather broken and redeemable by you. There's a place for broken people called the church. That we may not look down upon other people, Lord, but rather invite them in, because we know life is difficult. Lord, that you give us all, each and every one of us, an opportunity this week to do that. Maybe it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, or someone we just bump into, that we share the good word with them, and if we have to, use words. That we remember that we are instruments in proclaiming your word to everyone we come into contact. Amen. And this week, go and spread the gospel and use words if you have to.